I want to talk about Phil Mickelson here for a moment, because Phil Mickelson, as you know, fabulously successful golfer, very popular with the people and with fellow golfers. And he had talked in a conference call last week about how the new tax changes were making life complicated for him. And after a terrific round of golf that he shot, I think at La Quinta, he was asked about it again. And he said that, I want to quote him here, there are going to be some drastic changes for me because I happen to be in that zone that's been targeted both federally and by the state, and it doesn't work for me right now. So I'm going to have to make some changes. What he was referring to is he said that when all is said and done, his tax burden in terms of federal burden, state burden, you know, the Medicare surcharges, the, you know, fees of various types, push his tax rate to over 60%. And, you know, he was talking about whether he's a California boy, and he's talking about whether he would have to, you know, move out. Well, he says this, and instantly, instead of talking about whether or not he was being reasonable, unreasonable, whether he, what should the rate of taxation on someone be, he gets attacked for, oh, get this, little country club golfer doesn't want to pay his taxes. And, you know, a perfect example of that came in these exchanges between Erin Burnett, who I love, I think she's terrific, on CNN, and Roland Martin, who's just a dork.
You know, Mickelson apologized. Everyone jumps on the guy. And he said, look, I should have kept my comments private. But then he also said this, and I think this is really important. Right now, I'm like many Americans who are trying to understand the new tax laws. I've been learning a lot over the last few months, and I've talked with people who are trying to help me make intelligent and informed decisions. I certainly don't have a definitive plan at this time, but like everyone else, I want to make decisions that are best for my future and my family. Look, just because, you know, whether you're rich or whether you're poor, when your taxes change dramatically, people can change how they spend money.
Right.
What's wrong with that? Why are people picking on him for that?
Yeah, why? And here is the substantive, reflective, thoughtful rebuttal by Roland Martin from CNN.
But Aaron, here's the deal.
Yeah.
98% of the country is saying, Phil, shut up. They would love to make $40 million a year. They would love to win a golf tournament and make $1 million.
Reminds me of that that one-liner. I forget who was responsible for it. Quote, shut up, he explained, close quote. I mean, that's all that Roland Martin can say. Shut up. No, I don't think that Phil Mickelson should shut up, and I don't think Phil Mickelson should apologize.
And that's, I think, one of the most disconcerting parts of how this story has played out. When it comes time, Phil Mickelson is essentially, he's not criticizing poor people. He's criticizing the way our government chooses to make decisions. And if the response is going to be shut up, well, what just happened to the First Amendment?
Yeah,
like, I mean, the whole idea of an open and free press is paramount in keeping government accountable and on task. And the response is, oh, you should shut up. We don't like what you're saying.
Yeah, no. That,
how does that make sense?
Well, that to me is Obama's America. When you say, do you realize that the combined federal, state, local tax burden on some people has now exceeded 60%? They have to work every day from January, February, March, April, May, June, July, and July to pay just their taxes? And the response is, yeah, shut up. Here's more on Roland Martin.
He was right when he said, I should have kept my criticism to myself because he looks like a whiner. Here's the other piece. When he goes and plays in a golf tournament,
right,
you know what he wants? He wants the people out there to buy tickets to see him play.
Yeah, he does. And by the way, Phil Mickelson creates jobs because he is a draw. And when you are a draw and you make an event profitable, then you are creating more economic opportunity, more jobs for people, whether they're parking cars, whether they are selling food, whether they are selling souvenirs, whether they're helping to plan the event, which is bigger than they thought, whether you're catering, it doesn't matter.
And something else that Roland Martin really conveniently overlooks is nobody wants to watch Roland Martin play golf because he's horrible at it. They want to pay money to watch Phil Mickelson or any other number of great golfers or other athletes or performers. It doesn't have to do with athletics, you know, anything in music or acting and what have you. They want to go see the best. That's where we are inclined to spend our money. It's supply and demand. And sure, Phil Mickelson and the PGA Tour, they charge a hefty amount of money to go to attend any of these events.
Yeah, here's what we're talking
about.
But
it's because you're able to watch the best people, you know, the most accomplished people participate in whatever the event is.
So you've got people like Mickelson, and Phil's not crying poverty. He made $45 million last year in tournament winnings and endorsements. But, for instance, he was going to be part of the San Diego Padres ownership group. He's a Southern California boy himself, and he had to pull out of that. He says that, you know, California's income tax rate on the wealthy is now 13%. So if you got 40% courtesy of Obama, and then you've got 13% courtesy of Jerry Brown, and then you've got the Medicare surcharge, the you know, other taxes and fees that are levied, it seems to me, when you say I am now paying 61, 62, 63% of my income, that anyone should look at that and say, really? That doesn't seem right. Now, here's Aaron Burnett trying to talk sense into Roland Martin, who has none.
He wants the people out there to buy tickets to see him play.
Right. That's a fair point.
He wants them to buy his golf clubs clothes he wears.
But you know what, Roland? I see your point. I think you're totally right. But then I think about it, and I think, you know, how many people does Phil Mickelson employ directly or indirectly? And if he stops employing some of them because of his taxes, but he's too afraid to talk out about it because people say he's whining, then you have this bad effect and nobody's even aware to do anything
about it.
It's
only one person he needs to employ, his caddy.
See, in other words, Roland Martin saying, if you thought I was stupid, let me remove all doubt. Okay, as a matter of fact, a lot of people owe their living to Phil Mickelson. People who buy golf shirts, people who buy golf equipment with Phil Mickelson's name on it, owe their job to Phil Mickelson. So, you know, I don't mind, you know, I don't really care for arrogant people, but I really can't stand dumb, arrogant people, which is, again, where we get to Roland Martin. Now, here we have Rehan Salam, who's a contributor to National Review, who is in the discussion. And he brings up the difference between California and how they treat the wealthy versus other states. And at the end, you're going to hear Roland Martin again.
California has one of the best climates. It's one of the most beautiful places. Why is that state losing people to Texas, to Washington State, to Nevada, to all of these other states?
Texas is God's country.
I don't know. They have term limits. Maybe we should think twice before we put the rest of the state.
They're losing them because of bad policy.
Aaron, I'm a native Texan. We welcome all Californians to come to Texas.
You'll get more of them.
Oh, yeah. Now he wants them to move to Texas. Maybe give Roland some golf lessons. But again, I wish that Phil Mickelson had not apologized. Phil, you have nothing to apologize for. You're helping to instruct the country about why a lot of people who used to live in California have now moved to Florida and Arizona and Texas and up to Washington. And by the way, one of those people who moved to Florida way back in the 90s, the week he turned pro. He grew up in California, went to Stanford, moved to Florida, Tiger Woods.
This is Talk Radio 570 KVI.
You know, that actually raises a very interesting question. And that is, how much should someone in a free society, that nevertheless does require taxes to pay the bills, defend the country, et cetera, et cetera. How much should a citizen in a free nation give to the government? Federal, state, local, et cetera, combined. How much should the government claim from your annual income? What is a fair amount that someone should give to the government and still be considered a free person? Because I think that 62-63%, which is what Phil Mickelson, the golfer, estimated he was paying, is just ridiculous. And that creates so many disincentives. Here's where I come down. I think the federal government should tax nobody more than 25%. I think that regardless of how rich you are, if every minute of your life, of your working life, you are in January, February, March, you are working for the federal government, that's enough. That's one quarter of the year. That's fair to me. And then, state and local government, probably, another 8% for state government, 2% for local government and the like. And you're up to about 35%, which means you get about 2/3 of your income. Now, that isn't what I would propose in an ideal free society. I'm talking about the society we're now in with bills to pay and entitlement reforms, Social Security, Medicare, and the like. But you see, what I said would strike Obama as incredibly greedy. I don't know why it's greedy to say that in a free society, 2/3 of your working wages should belong to you and your family rather than government. Let's go out here to Warren, calling in Stanwood. Warren, good to have you here.
Hey, John. Someone should tweet Roland Martin and ask him when he's going to give up 60% of his pay. Two, he's stuck on stupid. And three, there was a federal judge many years ago that said you have a moral obligation to pay as little income tax as legally possible. And four, there are no loopholes. There are legal tax deductions that apply to anyone regardless of their income.
Yeah, by the way, I've posted this on my Facebook fan page, John Carlson Radio. I posted that question. How much should the government at all levels take from? I love your idea about asking Roland Martin if he'd part with 60% of his money without, quote, whining, close quote. I think that, 25% to the feds, 8% to the state, 2% local government, that strikes me as a pretty fair balance.